We're now going to finish the third perek of Erechin with the fifth Mishnah and begin the fourth perek with the first Mishnah. The fifth Mishnah in the third perek of Erechin continues, B'motzi Shemro Lahakel Lahachmir. By Motzi Shemro, again, a Jewish marriage is divided up into two parts. First part, Erisin, or also called Kedushin, is a quasi-marriage. There's no real comparable item in civil law. The person is the people are married, and the woman has a status of being a wife, and yet she's still forbidden to her husband until the marriage is consummated at the nisuin, the second part of the marriage. So this woman is called an arusa, and when she's married completely, she's a nesua. An arusa who commits adultery, when she's forbidden to her husband, she commits adultery, still it's a capital crime. The motzi shemra is a person who claims on the night when he consummates the marriage that he knew that his wife, that she had a chazaka, a status of being a basula, virgin, when she was in a, when they became betrothed, erisin, kedushin, she had this status. Now, somewhere in between, in the interim, she was mizana. She had a relationship with someone else, and she's no longer a virgin. And the parents, fortunately, can bring proof that she is a virgin, usually from the sheet in which they consummated their marriage, because it's full of blood. That would be indicative that she was a basula, and this was dam basulim, blood that comes forth when the basulim, when the hymen is broken. So the motzi shemra lahakil lahachmir, the person who is found to be lying, and with his words he would have put his wife into a capital position. The worst type of misa is for an arusa, a skila, stoning. Kate said, how so is it lahachmir? So, echer shehotzi shemra al gedola shebekohuna. Whether his wife was the most important woman in of all the kohanim, in the same language as the Mishnah before, amongst all the kohanos, amongst the kohanim, she was the most important woman, v'al ketana shebisrael, or his wife was just the most non-important woman in Israel. It doesn't make a difference. The price he has to pay is to usually the father of the woman, no sin mayor sell, he has to give 100 sella. Now, in the previous Mishnah, which speaks about an onus mefate, the kanas, and again a fixed punishment, a fixed monetary fee, usually is a kanas, we call a kanas, a fine. So here the kanas is twice that of an onus mefate. By onus mefate, the price was, the fine, the kanas, was 50 sloim. Here, the price by the motzi shemra is 100 sloim. So the Mishnah remarks on this, on this point. The Mishnah says, Nimsa omer befiv yeser mina oisem maise. That someone who tries to harm somebody else verbally, just with his mouth, is worse, is more excessive than somebody who does a physical act to someone. An onus mefate, a rapist, the mefate or the seducer, they did a physical act on the woman. Here, this is a verbal attempt to take her life. Shechein motzino shelo nechtam gzor din al vasino b'midbar ela aloshen hara. We find that gzor din in the midbar was only because of Lashon Hara, not to come into the land of Israel. Shenemar, as it says in Parsha Shlach Lecha, Vayenusu osi zeb esepamim v'lo shemu bekoli, and they tested me these 10 times, and they didn't listen to my voice. So Rav explains ze esepamim gabi beraglin kasevis, by the meraglin, the spies, the mashma al ze, on this one thing, the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim, Nischatem Gezor Din. The Gezor Din, the decree not to come into Eretz Yisrael, and everybody who was over the age of 20 would die in the Midbar. That decree was made solely on the basis of the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim. I say at this point that the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, I heard the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik, that Rashi points out that the Shlach Lecha is juxtaposed right after to this Paloscha, the story of Miriam, when she spoke Lashon Hara about her brother Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rav explained that really the sins were the same sins. Miriam didn't speak maliciously about Moshe Rabbeinu. She spoke about him because she didn't understand his segula, his unique nature. She thought he was like other prophets, like her and like Aaron. And as a result, he didn't have to separate from his wife. She didn't understand the extra close relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. And as a result, she was punished. The Meraglim also failed to see the special nature, the segula of Eretz Yisrael. I might have had a land full of giants and walled cities and the like, but this was a special spiritual land, a land that was spiritually fit to be the land of the Jewish people. In fact, the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, in another piece, explains that the in halachic terms, that Am Yisrael's entry into Eretz Yisrael was like a marriage, like a bridegroom coming to visit the bride. And the halacha is that no one is allowed to marry a woman until he sees her first. So the Meraglim were sent to be the eyes of Am Yisrael and to see the bride and report back that she was a beautiful bride. And had their eyes been opened properly, had they seen the segula, the true nature of Eretz Yisrael, they would have come back with that report. But they failed to do so. It was a failure in understanding the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara here in Erechin has a sugya based, because this Mishnah speaks about Lashon Hara, so it has one of the probably the largest sugya, single sugya in Shas on Lashon Hara, and it's a sugya that's quoted by the works in Lashon Hara, Tshuva the Ma'arik, Yosef Kolon, and of course by the Chavetz Chaim in his classical work on Lashon Hara. Perik Dalad Mishnah Hey. The Mishnah again lists a few things which are elucidated upon in subsequent Mishnayos. First is Hesig Yad Ben Noder, the Hashonim Ben Nidor. The second, Hesig Yad Ben Noder, is something we discussed already, that if a man is poor and he makes a neder that the erech of the rich man is upon him, that nevertheless the Kohen evaluates him as a poor man. And he ascertains how much he can afford to pay. If he can't afford to pay anything, he has to pay a minimum of a sela in order to fulfill his vow. V'hashonim benidor. If a person, however, said that so-and-so, the erech of so-and-so was upon him, the person who said it was between 20 and 60, 20 and 60, where the value is for a male is 50 sloim, and he said it about someone who was 18 years old, where the valuation for a male is 20 sloim, much less. So here it goes on the years of the neder, the person who he said it about, the erech only a lie. So-and-so's erech lie would only have to pay 20 sloim. The arachim benerach. The Mishnah later on, in later Mishnah, will explain this also, that remember, there are two factors in Erechin. One is the age of the person who is making the Erech, or who the item of the Erech, so-and-so's value is upon me. And one is the gender of the person. There's only a female is less than a male. Between 20 and 60, the male is 50, and the female is 30. Between 5 and 20, the male is 20 and the female is 10. Between a month and 5, the male is 5 sloim and the female is 3 sloim. And after the age of 60, the man is 15 sloim and the female is 10 sloim. In fact, there's an interesting, interesting balaturim at the end of Parshas Bechukosai, where you have the halachas in the Torah of Arachim. And the Balaturim points that if you take all the fees starting, the Torah starts with 20 to 60, then between 5 and 10, then between a month and 5, and then above 60. So we'll start with the way that the Torah has it. You have 50 and 30 is 80. Then you have 20 and 10, which is 30 plus 80 is 110. Then you have 5 plus 3, which is 8, which is 118. And then you have 15 and 10, which is 25. 118 plus 25 is 143. The 143 corresponds, the Baal HaTorim says, to the 45 plus 98 klolos. 45 klolos, there were 45 curses in Parshas Bechukosai, and 98 klolos in Parshas Ki Sovo. The 98 plus 45 is 143. That the total of all the possible values of Arachin is equal to the values of the curses, in order to that the mitzvah of Arachin should be a defense against the klolos of the Torah. So even though we can't understand the value that the Torah gives, this is some type of divine absolute value, and there's a purpose behind these values, because these values together are a protection for Klal Yisrael. So there are many things we don't understand, but which serve purposes. Now, the Arachim b'Nerach, so if a male makes an Erech concerning a woman, he pays according to her Erech. The Erech b'Zmana Erech. We'll have this later also. If a person made an Erech on himself, he was 19 and a half, or on someone else who was 19 and a half, and by the time it came to the Kohanim, the person was 20, nevertheless the vow goes to, according to the value at the time of that the neder was made, and the 19 pays 20 sloim as opposed to 50 sloim. Now the Mishnah explains the first statement in the Mishnah, Hesig Yad Benodir. Hesig Yad Benodir Ketzad, Oni Sheherich Esa Ashir, a poor man who was marich and usher, nosin erich ani. He gives the erich ani, which is he's evaluated by the kohen to see how much he can pay. The usher sheherich es ani nosin erich usher. But a rich man who makes the erich of a poor man whose erich should be 50, but he's assessed, the rich man doesn't follow the assessment that the poor man would have received had he made the same erich on himself. The rich man has to pay the full 50 sloim. So no sin erich asher. That's the end of the first Mishnah in the fourth parak.